Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time.
Lessons are what life's about, and they keep coming until we learn them. And I put in a lot of thought for not only my children, but for other children. What key lessons would I want them to learn so they can do their best? They can learn these lessons, but also have fun. And we don't want to lose our ability for any of those three of doing our best, which is the common denominator of all success, is doing your best. It's the common denominator of all great people that they have a desire that they must be what they can be, which determines why they do their best in a committed, consistent way. To learn lessons takes some skill, and to have the light, the love, and the lessons, to have fun and everything that we do. And if you want this guide, the Lessons to Teach Our Children guide, and exercises, just email me at any time and we'll send it out. David@dmeltzer.com. We're blessed to be here. Thank you, everyone. All right, time to get started. Through these lessons, I'll share insights on trusting the process, the importance of gratitude, the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons, and the power of our words to shape our reality. We'll also dive deep into finding fulfillment within, a foundation for true and lasting success, to maintain and sustain that desire that you must be what you can be, to have the commitment to do things non-negotiably every single day. Because it is not the mistakes that teach us the lessons that make us fail. It is the lack of commitment that only makes us failures. This guide is designed to equip you and all children with the mindset, resilience, and inner strength to overcome those challenges, to not lack the commitment and consistent, persistent pursuit, building meaningful relationships and creating a fulfilling life. And so let's talk about some of these transformational principles that we can teach our children and other people's children in order to facilitate that desire. The first lesson that I'd love to share is the power of silence. The fewer words you use, the more impactful they become. In a world full of noise, social silos, chaos, true wisdom often comes from thoughtful, concise communication. And it is not only the wisdom and faith that shortens this distance, but it's the clarity, balance, and focus in our communications, in the frequency in which we communicate. As Erwin McManus was with us yesterday talking about the seven frequencies of communication, to be concise, knowing that we want to speak and listen to and for and through each other in order to be inspired in spirit, to carry the commitment and consistent, persistent pursuit of our own potential, of what we want, not what other people want, not what's missing, and not what we don't have. There's examples of mentorship, coaching, and teaching to utilize the power of silence. A coach makes one powerful statement that could shift the outcome of a game. A parent makes one powerful statement that could shift a child's life. A teacher makes one powerful statement that shifts the outcome of someone's life. And so we must understand that it is the concise communication, the frequency of our communication that is impactful and resonates most. And understanding the idea of resonation, meaning that it is what we agree with or disagree with most. When we impact others, when we create a catalytic effect in a relationship, in concise communication, it's our ability to have someone agree with us strongly or disagree with us strongly. Both are forms of intuition, utilizing the intelligence and the inspiration in order to have a impact, a visceral response to create movement, action in a divine direction, to create a divine detour for someone in order to progress, to protect, to perfect, to be able to utilize that impactful statement to allow for patience, divine time, knowing that the only speed of progress is not fast enough. And that if we could help our children utilize that divine direction with divine detours and allowing for divine time, the power of silence, the fewer words we can use, the more impactful they become. With all the noise out there, with all the ambient sounds and social media, TV, audio, whatever it may be, we need to pierce through all the noise with clear, impactful lessons. And to be able to teach those as a mentor, to guide people to where they want to be in a position that we are in. There's only two ways that we can help our children get to where they want to be. Either give them directions to where we are, or to actually suggest and ask them to give us directions of where they're at so that we can meet in a mindful space, an impactful direction to improve, progress into that perfection that we are all a part of. The power of silence is extremely important, not just in the facilitation of listening, but into concise communication, a directive of frequency in order to impact. Remember, especially with children, that we may just be planting seeds. I remember when I met the amazing Dennis Waitley, and he was teaching sales. And I was an ignorant 25-year-old, a top salesman for my company. And I was very resistant to the lessons that he was teaching about solution selling, about finding out what other people like and don't like, and providing value in that direction by giving more of what I liked and of what they liked and taking away what some, if not all, of what they didn't like. And he was getting frustrated with my lack of silence. And I remember him telling me, "Don't worry, son." He said, "I'm just planting a seed under a tree that I may never sit under." But he was still creating that seed and planting it in me so that someday when I was ready, I would understand and know the lesson that he was teaching in his impactful way. And so the number one lesson that we want to teach is the power of silence to our children. The second lesson is extremely valuable. It's the biggest energy gap that exists today between teaching our children who they are, who they truly are, the I am versus who I want people to think I am. It's called the freedom of external validation. No more FOPO, the fear of other people's opinion. We need to help them transform the FOPO into JOPO, the joy of other people's opinion, the appreciation of other people's opinion, understanding that all people and their opinions are nothing but an ignorant statement, either to help us or to hinder us. And in that ignorance, there is either an ignorant arrogance to create resistance from fear of what we want for other people or our children, or there's an ignorant humility of just, I don't know what I don't know. What others think of you does not define you. What other people think of you is actually none of your business. The freedom from external validation is a common denominator of all successful people with the desire that they must be what they can be. And that energy gap between I am, and this is what I want people to think I am, will define how quickly we learn. And if we teach the children the importance of an inner confidence created by practice and staying true to their own values of what they want, not what other people want, not what's missing, not what they don't have, rather than seeking every day in person, on the phone, via email and media, traditional and social, seeking approval, the FOPO, the FOPO, fear of other people's opinion, and understanding the importance of that inner confidence and understanding the voices within that we can't hear, see, say, do, think, or feel, or believe outside of us, what we don't do, say, think, feel, and believe, what's inside of us. It's that inner voice, that inner child that will determine for the rest of our lives that inner confidence. And we need to teach our children to practice. Practice consciously, only thinking those positive, directive, divine detours in divine time to get to where we want to be, but also to recognize the subconscious inner voice that can deter and interfere with the inner confidence that's created by practice, notating that the subconscious is a repetitive force. What thoughts, words, feelings, and beliefs exist in your subconscious will be repetitive, and 80% or more are negative. That is why most people overthink only negative things. We never overthink the positive things. And it is a logic that can't overcome. It is not. It is the actions that are determined by our conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind, the conscious continuum that creates this inner confidence and establishes our values, the practices to reinforce and expand, aggregate, accelerate, and exponentially create an acceleration of success, and not seek what other people want for us. Athletes who push through criticism to achieve goals have always historically done the best because, once again, they don't lack a commitment because they're driven by a greater purpose to overcome their pain. Because it is their purpose that needs to be greater than their pain to make sure they don't lack the commitment to get to where they want to be or better. And it is that chip sometimes on a child's shoulder that will give him or her the purpose greater than the pain to get to where they want to be or better, and to silence the external validation to be a pleaser instead to know I am, not this is what I want people to think I am. And in the context of ignorance, knowing that there's only two types of people in the world, ignorant people that don't know what they don't know and ignorant people that don't know what they don't know, the differentiator between the two types of ignorant people, one, the ignorant, arrogant people, and there's two types of those. Ignorant, arrogant people, they don't know what they don't know, but they lie and pretend like they do as an expert. And some people do it out of obvious arrogance and they just say stupid shit to you and person on the phone via email and social media with different levels of courage because they are hiding behind some modality of communication. But the true danger is not the people that create the ignorant, arrogant FOPO, but it is the people who love us the most. It's the ignorant, arrogant people that love us the most, that know they don't know what they don't know, but they love us so much that they pretend that they're an expert in that subject matter, topic, or expertise. They pretend like they know what they know. And out of love, they give us advice out of fear, only to create more interference and to send us further into a trajectory of where we don't want to be. Look for the ignorant humble, the ones who admit, I don't know what I don't know, but here's what I've experienced. Here's some suggestions and questions to help you determine internally the validation that you need, not to force some external validation objective to move you, accelerate you in the wrong direction, or to interfere with who you want to be or better. Instead of focusing in on what's missing, what you don't have, or even worse, other people's opinion.
As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me as someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings. I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook. This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. Therapy is a great tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. Because sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get a 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/playbook.
The second lesson we need to teach our children to have the desire that they must be what they can be. The only common denominator of all passionate, purposeful, and profitable people that I know, that desire that you must be what you can be, is freedom from external validation. The third lesson, focus in on the possibilities, not the problems. I think we saw this within the context of a divisive election of two different ideals that were perceptive and completely opposite. Dividing our country by focusing in on the problems, not the possibilities. And now that we're past that point of divisive mindset, I suggest that we focus in on the possibilities. I got a lot of feedback about a statement I made previous to the election that my focus was on the possibilities of no matter who won, how I was going to be better off. Because historically, no matter who has won, I have been better off. Because I don't focus in on the problems. I don't focus in on what I don't want and what's missing. I focus in on what I do want, where I do want to be or better, or where I think I want to be or better. Keeping an open mind, an open heart, and an open hand by doing my best, learning lessons, and having fun the same way I want my children to do their best, learn lessons, and have fun. And focus in on the possibilities, not the problems. Because I promise you, if you wish for or focus in on what you don't want, you are going to get what you don't want. And worrying, which was all abound and still is, worrying is a duplicative negative. Worrying is not only interfering with where you want to be or better or where you think you want to be or better. Worrying is wishing for what you don't want. And if anyone doesn't believe me, just remember back when you were worried about something happening and you were guaranteeing it would, especially a problem on a test. The more I focused in on, oh, I hope the rules of perpetuity isn't on the bar exam. I hope the rules of perpetuity aren't on my trust and estate exam. I was guaranteeing what actually occurred, which was the first question on the exam was the rules of perpetuity. Focusing in on the problem brings more problems. It brings energy to the problems. Focusing in on possibilities opens up opportunities, options, and touches of favor. Let's help children shift from obstacles, interference, to solutions. Let's foster a growth mindset of possibilities, probabilities, sharing a new perspective through prioritization of what's important to them, not what's important to other people. And fostering these options, opportunities, and touches of favor, prioritizing what's important to them will be the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating, not taking action. And we know the only way that we can grow is to practice taking action. Sports teams that stay focused and on winning despite the challenges win. People ask me all the time, how is it that the Kansas City Chiefs are 8-0 after winning two Super Bowls in a row? Because they certainly aren't playing well. They certainly aren't talent-wise the best team. Because sports teams that stay focused in on winning despite the challenges win. And understanding that they spend only minutes and moments in bad calls. They spend minutes and moments worrying about injuries. They spend minutes and moments worrying about the weather, minutes and moments in these obstacles, in these interferences. Pat Mahomes and his crew, who I don't particularly root for, I have other interests with other teams, has my utmost respect. And I utilize him, as you can see, as an example of someone who focuses in on the possibilities, probabilities, and has the right perspective to not focus in on or worry about the problem. We must teach our children to focus in on possibilities, probabilities, to have a perspective that is ease, not dis-ease. The next lesson to teach our children is that pain is an indicator we have a better place to be, a better position to be in, a better situation to be in, that struggle is a catalyst for growth, that beyond the wisdom that it takes in order to facilitate the struggle or pain that exists as an indicator of where we want to be or better, we must have faith that we are protected, promoted, and loved, and perfected. Struggles often lead to a positive change. It, in my opinion, is not just the struggle, it's actually the pain. I think that struggle is a choice. Pain is not. Pain is omniscient. It's all present, the same as love. But a struggle is the meaning that we give it. And so we can only spend minutes and moments struggling as pain is indicating to us that we have a better place to be, a better position to be in, a better situation to live with. We can view hardship as an essential for progress. We can see pain as an indicator in our lives, teaching us resilience and perseverance, once again, to allow us what to not lack the commitment, because it won't be the mistakes that cause us to fail. It'll be the lack of commitment, because once again, we need to teach our children the desire that they must be what they can be. They must be what they can be, or what they want, not what's missing, not what other people want for them. And if we can show and not only give the wisdom, but inspire them with the faith that there's something bigger than them, an omniscient and all-powerful source that will allow the omniscience of pain to indicate that we have a better place to be, a better position to be in, an omniscient, all-powerful source that loves us more than our mom, that creates an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought where it just fuels the commitment of consistent, persistent behavior in a directive, a direction, a divine direction that allows these detours as well to be divine in their nature, and most importantly, to provide the resilience and perseverance to allow for divine time to reveal the revelation of the truth, that we are protected, we are promoted, we are loved, and we are perfected by something bigger than us that loves us more than our mom. The fifth lesson, in order to drive the desire that we must be what we can be within our children, to teach them these lessons so that they do not lack the commitment in order to get to where they want to be or better, is meaningful connections. Relationship capital is the greatest capital that can be gained. My frequency is my neighborhood. My mission is to empower others to be happy by creating a community of people like here. With over 100,000 people registered today for training, utilize every single platform in order to facilitate this conversation of a meaningful connection, a connection of people, a neighborhood of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. In every idea, every action, intention, beyond just financial gain, although if you have a neighborhood of people that want to help each other and know people that will help each other, we actually do create a community of people that buy from us and sell for us for life. and nothing will make you more financially successful. There is no other better, greater asset than the meaningful connection of relationship capital. Encourage your children to approach relationships openly with the open mind, the open heart, and open hand, to recognize value in every interaction. Remember, value is only derived how? By giving people more of what they like and taking away some, if not all, of what they don't like. In other words, to establish a relationship that we know where people are at today and find out what they like and what they don't like, so we can ask them the question of meaningful connection, which is, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that could help me? You can ask and teach these questions of meaningful connection of, do you know anyone that could help me, and would it help you if? Because the fastest way to get to where you want to be or better is to help someone get to where they want to be, or have someone help you where you want to be. The athlete and coach mentorships, or teammates inspiring one another, is a classic example of the meaningful connections, once again, that creates the victory, not the victims. The victory of a neighborhood, a frequency of people that have meaningful connections, of wanting to help one another and know people that will help one another. We must teach these kids today, especially because of the remote nature of relationships today, in front of TVs and devices, that we need to learn how to create meaningful connections in person, especially on the phone, via email, and media. With all four of those, understanding relationship capital and the infinite loop of abundance, the infinite loop of love, of truth, these meaningful connections will also fuel the desire to what? Be what they must be, to start focusing in on those. The sixth lesson is the courage while experiencing the anxiety zone. You see, there's three zones, the three concentric circles, and I'm happy to send not only this exercise to everyone, but also the concentric circles of the comfort zone, the learning zone, and the anxiety zone. And if you'd like the exercise and guides and the diagram in order to facilitate how to live your life at ease, email me. I'll send it out for free. If you want my book, I'll package that in there too. Pay for shipping and the book, david@dmeltzer.com. But is the courage in the anxiety zone, the courage while the anxiety zone, the awareness while in the anxiety zone, to step into that zone but not linger there, to spend minutes and moments in anxiety, to step back into the lessons, the learning zone, because the only zone that expands is the learning zone. Comfort zone doesn't expand. The anxiety zone is constrictive in nature. If you live too long in the anxiety zone, which so many children and adults are doing, that pretty soon our anxiety zone becomes the size of our learning zone, and our learning zone now shrinks down into the size of our comfort zone, and so on and so forth, until you end up stuck in bed, not being able to get up, thinking about doing something harmful to yourself or others. We need to teach our children to have courage to identify our reaction to fear, to stop, not try to go over it, under it, through it, around it, resist it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it, but no, instead supply it with the remembrance of who you walk with, the reminder of who you walk with, the recollection of who you walk with. And with this spirit and desire, we can have courage and only spend minutes and moments in the anxiety zone, stop the separation of the need to be right and offended and separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, worried, etc. Growth happens outside of the comfort zone, but it must be balanced in harmony with a crucial understanding and identification of how we react to fear and encourage taking risks without sustaining the stress that so many of us do. To do our best, to learn lessons and have fun. The final lesson that we should teach our children in order to have the desire that we must be what we can be is the power of gratitude. We must remind, remember, and recollect. We must teach our children to say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up. The fastest and easiest way to change our children's life, to fuel the desire that they must be what they can be, is to have them live in gratitude and practice gratitude. It takes 0.1 seconds to say thank you. It's free. And yet the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do. We must teach our children to focus in on finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything, every situation, every person, to experience the abundant, infinite, unified system of thought in which they belong to. The saddest thing is I teach gratitude to adults and children is every single one of them will tell me that they can say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up, no problem. Because it's free, it takes 0.1 seconds. And none of those people who make a commitment to say thank you every single day before they go to bed and when they wake up, not one of them doesn't believe that they can do it. But by tonight, out of all of those millions of people in the world that believe that the most impactful way to change your life is the power of gratitude, half of them won't say thank you by tonight. Another half of them won't say thank you by tomorrow morning. Within 3 days, almost all of us won't say thank you within 3 days. Even though we all believe it's the most impactful, easiest, simplest, inexpensive way to change your life, to impact your life, the greatest lesson that we can teach our children, gratitude, is so simple. It's simple not to do every single day. So we must practice. We must remind, remember, and recollect with our source in order to have the fortitude, the desire that we must be what we can be, to have the power of gratitude, teach the power of gratitude, and live the power of gratitude. Gratitude will shift the perspective, attracting more positive experiences, the unified belief that we are going to be better. But yet it's so difficult to do. In fact, it took me 9 months till I could say thank you every single day for 30 straight days. And if anybody would like a gratitude challenge, a practice guide of gratitude to remind, remember, and recollect with your source, something bigger than you in gratitude, once again, along with the comfort zone, along with the guides and my books, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. There's many lessons to teach our children. To carry on, to empower others, to be happy so that they live in abundance and make a lot of money, help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. So they do their best, learn lessons and have fun. So they have a desire that they must be what they can be. We must teach them the power of silence. We must teach them the freedom from external validation. We must teach them to focus in on possibilities, probabilities, perspective, not problems. We must teach them about pain being an indicator of a better place to be, a better situation to be in, and that struggle is a choice. Pain is not a catalyst for growth. We must teach them about meaningful connections, about their frequency as their neighborhood, to understand the community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. We must teach them about the anxiety zone and spending minutes and moments there and striving as we learn in the learning zone and expanding the size of our learning zone into the size of our anxiety zone. And then finally, we must teach our children the power of gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons. If we can teach these and other lessons to our children, as always, we will be better off. We will be better off tomorrow. My favorite day is tomorrow because it's better than today. And I continue to improve by learning lessons myself, by doing my best, and having fun. And I suggest we all do the same thing.